Why, thank you. Again, two in one day. Okay, the first reading is from the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord of our righteousness. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from the first book of Colossians, first chapter of Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Alleluia, alleluia, for to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, for to whom shall we go?
The Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So, like I said, today is Christ the King Sunday. And Christ the King was made into a feast day in the Catholic Church not long after the end of World War I. And the Pope at that time decided to make this feast day, Christ the King, in an effort to combat rampant nationalism in Europe at the time. And the idea was to remind Christians of their ultimate allegiance, that their ultimate allegiance was to Jesus, not to any country or any government or any political leader. What a timely reminder, right? Still a problem today. Because while this was a good idea in theory, we know it did not eliminate the problem of nationalism. Plus, the image of Christ as king, unfortunately, has often been used, probably mostly been used, within churches and within theologies that view the church as an empire battling for dominion on the earth. So a lot of people want to get rid of this Christ the King day, get rid of this Christ the King language, or even Kingdom of God language. And I completely get it. I understand why people would want to do that, because it's patriarchal. It uses imperialist language, which has way too often been embraced by an imperialist church, dominating and oppressing people around the globe. So there are a lot of problems with this language. But at the same time, if we look at the original context and the way that this language was used in Scripture, the idea of Christ as king was powerful and important because it was in direct opposition to the imperialist and oppressive rule of the time of Jesus. Using king language for Jesus was subversive, the same way as using savior language and Son of God language was subversive, because those were all names or titles that were used for the Roman emperor. So using those names and those titles for Jesus was a way of saying no to the powers that oppressed them. Early Christians were subverting authority. They were subverting the authority and those in power by claiming that Jesus was the true authority in their life, that Jesus was the one that they put their trust in and who they pledged their allegiance to. While the emperor claimed to be the only one who could save them, they believed that it was Jesus who really saved. So when we reclaim that meaning of Christ the King, it does not lead to participation in abusive power structures. Quite the opposite. It leads us to stand in opposition to all abusive power structures of every time and place. That's why the image of Christ as King remains important despite all of the difficulties, because it challenges abusive systems of power, not only by rejecting their authority over us, but also by modeling a different way, a different relationship to power, a different relationship to leadership, because Jesus is a very different type of king. Just look at the image we have in our gospel reading today, this image of Christ as king. Because here it is, right? Christ the King Sunday. And what's our gospel reading? Becky walked into my office and said, "Is it Good Friday? What's happening right now," right? It's Christ the King Sunday, and we have Jesus hanging on the cross with that crown, not of gold and jewels, but of thorns piercing his skin. We have Jesus as a tortured and abused political prisoner, mocked by those in power, mocked by the soldiers, mocked and derided as powerless. We have Jesus stripped and naked, bloody and dying, being killed as a nobody because crucifixions weren't used on everybody, right? They were used on foreigners. They were used on non-citizens. They were used on people who didn't have power in the social structure, because just like today, the legal system did not treat everyone equally. The people who did not have power were the ones who were put to death in this horrific way. And so while he's hanging there, dying, Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives the very people who are mocking and torturing and killing him, the people who were enacting this abusive power system. And he extends the promise of life and salvation to a criminal dying on the cross next to him. Someone who had been clearly marked as disposable and worthless by the powers that be. Christ as king does not use power to elevate himself above others. He does not use power to push others down or diminish them. Christ does not use power to retaliate or to dominate or to coerce. Instead, Christ the King uses the power given to him to heal those who are suffering, to feed those who are hungry, to invite to the table those who have been excluded. Jesus uses the power given to him to live out and proclaim God's love, to live it out and proclaim it so persistently that he would not stop even when it led to his death on the cross. He continued to live out and proclaim God's forgiveness even while he was dying. That is the image of Christ as King that we lift up today. And all of that, the way he lived out God's love in his life and his ministry, the way he acted out God's love and forgiveness in his death on the cross, all of that is the revelation, the revealing of God that we've been given in Jesus. Because Jesus not only taught and preached about the kingdom of God, Jesus embodied the kingdom of God. So what does this idea, this image of Christ as king, show to us? What does it reveal to us about who God is? Well, again, we look to the cross. And what we see revealed there is that Jesus, remaining true to the gospel, even though it led to the cross, points to a God who does not back down, who does not stop loving us, no matter the cost. We see Jesus forgiving those who tortured and killed him, which points to a God who forgives all of our darkest and worst parts. We see Jesus who promises the man next to him life and salvation, which points us to a God who extends life and salvation to those named as the lowest and least, to those who've been made disposable by society. Christ the King hanging on the cross reveals to us that God does not use power to dominate, but to extend love and forgiveness. In his life and ministry and in his death on the cross, Jesus fully embodied the kingdom of God and revealed God's love for us, a love that will not be stopped, revealing the healing power of forgiveness, forgiveness that is freely given to all people. So while Christ the King is not my favorite name for Jesus, the image remains important because it holds within it the good news that we are set free from all forms of tyranny, from all types of abusive power. Those systems do not get to tell us our worth, and we do not need to participate in them to gain our worth by pushing others down. We are set free, completely loved, and entirely forgiven. We are set free to live into and to live out God's kingdom, a kingdom where all are loved and valued and cherished as beloved children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.